In Florida, you'll find the environment to inspire what's inconceivable, the chance to explore what's inexplicable, and the space to accomplish what's unimaginable. You'll no longer have to wait for the future. You can harness it. Florida, the future is here.
How rich lawyers are no longer rich enough for J.P. Morgan. That's coming up.
From Wall Street to Main Street to your street, this is Your Money Matters from the Wall Street Journal.
From the newsroom in New York, I'm Jennifer Strong. Attorneys are among the clients most affected by private bank J.P. Morgan's recent decision to double the required investable assets necessary to do business with them. For more on this, we're joined now by the Wall Street Journal's Emily Glazer in Los Angeles. Emily, how much money do you need to be a J.P. Morgan client, and why are they doing this?
So there have been some changes with J.P. Morgan Chase & Co.'s private bank. So that is the highest tier of wealth management that is geared toward the ultra rich. And what we reported back in March is that they are rolling out a new minimum of investable assets, doubling it from $5 million to $10 million. So it's quite a big change. Mm-hmm. And as this begins to roll out, what we've heard is that lawyers are actually caught in the crosshairs.
In the end, how big of a deal is this to be moved from J.P. Morgan to something like Chase Private Client? Is this mostly about prestige, or is this really affecting people?
I think a lot of it is about prestige because it comes with the territory when you work for a top white shoe law firm that you're going to get other perks, whether that's service or access, that exist for partners and sort of the cachet of the firm and the things that you get associated with it. So for years, part of the recruiting tactics for some of these firms is that the managing partner or senior partners who do have, you know, the millions to invest with a place like J.P. Morgan's private bank would then get their, you know, more junior partners or those who are of counsel or associates who just don't make as much money yet, the same kinds of services or access. And some examples of that when you're in the private bank is access to a bunch of different private equity and hedge fund investments, often known as alternative investments, with Private Client Direct, which is sort of the middle service that that J.P. Morgan now has. You only get certain access. With the private bank, you have a way more hands-on team of professionals that are helping you, ranging from estate folks to tax folks to investment professionals. You name it, they have it. And it's a much larger team than Private Client Direct, which is just a little bit more basic in their offerings. And with Private Client, you have more attention. It's way more hands-on. So that team might only serve, you know, dozens of people, whereas Private Client Direct on average serves 100. And then if you go down tier even more, Chase Private Client, they're serving hundreds, if not more, and don't have any access to alternative investments like hedge funds. They don't have the same level of service. So it just, as you go down each tier, you're losing certain things and you just don't have as much hands-on attention.
I see. Any response from their competitors? Seems like it might be an opportunity for someone like Citi or somebody else to move in here.
Oh, gosh. Yeah, I'm sure the competitors are all over it, especially a place like Citigroup and Wells Fargo, which are very big in private banking for law firm groups. They actually organize their practices a little bit differently, and they serve both, it's sort of like a one-stop shop. They serve both individual lawyers as well as the firm's lending needs or banking needs, whereas J.P. Morgan's private bank only serves individuals and its commercial bank does the lending. So the business model is a little bit different. And what we've heard from some folks in the industry is that they prefer that one-stop shop model, especially for lawyers who might be very busy or heads of the firm that just want to deal with one person or one group. But yes, I am sure that it would not be surprising for a place like Citigroup, Wells Fargo. I also had heard City National, which is an LA-based bank that's growing its wealth management practice, is also starting to gear up and get more law firms on board.
As with so much else right now, I guess the reason for this, it comes down to interest rates, right? That's why J.P. Morgan is doing this?
That's a very big part of it. With super low interest rates, lower for longer interest rates, the returns are just not what folks are used to. And if they're paying, you know, whatever it is, it could be 1%, 1.25%, 1.5%. I mean, it just depends on what kind of model they have, but they're paying for these services and they want to get the returns. And if the returns are not beating the S&P 500 by a bunch or even hitting the same as it, you know, the question is it worth it? And so generally in the wealth management industry, a lot of folks have, clients have been frustrated, and the wealth management businesses are under a lot more pressure to deliver these returns. And I don't think, you know, sometimes the turbulent markets don't always help. Sometimes they offer opportunities for investments, but other times it gives even more uncertainty and harder to predict, and therefore it might be harder to invest with and get good returns.
That's the Wall Street Journal's Emily Glazer joining us from the newsroom in Los Angeles. Thanks very much.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
And thank you for listening. I'm Jennifer Strong at the News Desk in New York.
For more podcasts, check us out at wsj.com/podcasts. Become a subscriber on iTunes, Stitcher, Spotify, and now look for us on the Google Play Music app on Android devices.